Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
For many South Africans, immigrating is one of the biggest life decisions they'll ever make. But while people are often focusing on jobs, visas, settling into a new country, there is a major question that remains. What do you do with your property back home? Should you sell before? Should you sell from overseas? What legal financial considerations should home owners keep in mind before making decisions? Joining us for Transfer Talk this morning, Taryn Harris, conveyancer, attorney, and co-founder of Harris Marcus Umklangu. Taryn is the conveyancing department headed up by Taryn Harris and Cara Friedman. Taryn, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Very well. And yourself?
I am good. Thank you. So it's obviously a very, very important conversation. And that's why I'm loving these discussions, because we are dealing with things that people come across and they actually need to have the information. When someone is deciding to immigrate, selling their South African properties, is that the right move? Is it dependent on circumstances? What do we need to consider?
Wow, that's a very long, broad, loaded question. So obviously, it's ideal if people want to sell their property that they're able to do so before they actually immigrate. But that's not always feasible.
Practical, possible.
Correct.
Very, very. In fact, I think it's probably common in a significant amount of cases that people don't. Maybe they want to keep a property just in case they aren't happy where they are, and then they know they can come back.
Or they've got family living there, or they want to rent it out. So there's a variety of reasons why someone may not want to or able to sell before they immigrate. So now what? What do they have to do?
Okay.
So importantly, the best thing to do is to sign a special power of attorney with, preferably with you, with us, with your conveyancer. And what that would do is it allows someone to sign the transfer documents in South Africa when you eventually do sell your property. If you don't do that, then you have to go to whichever country you're in and pay a huge amount of money to a notary to sign the transfer documents, because the original documents are required to be lodged in the deeds office. And depending on which country you immigrate to, there's different procedures for actually authenticating documents to be used in South Africa. So here, for example, South Africa has signed part of the Hague Convention, which a lot of countries are. And then you sign before a notary, gets apostilled. It's very expensive to do this in Israel, in London, Australia.
And more than that is, it's bad enough learning a new system where you're, who's the dentist to go to, which school's getting a new cell phone. Now you've got to try and find and navigate something that is a nightmare, really.
Correct.
Or potentially. So
sign the special power of attorney before you go and sign the FICA affidavits, because those ones are very easy. It's you are who you say you are, and you obviously, if they're signed 2 years before you sell the property, it's not going to work.
Sure.
But if it's within a reasonable time, I would sign your affidavits before you leave.
So can I just practically, somebody's immigrating. They have no idea what they want to do with their properties. They're not yet a client of yours. Can they come to you and say, listen, I want to be potentially a client. I can't tell you if I'm going to sell or not sell, but I want to set this up for, in case I do, when I'm overseas?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So 100%. So they can either get a special power of attorney for someone they trust in South Africa.
Right.
Or they can nominate one of the partners in our firm to act on their behalf. And we won't sign anything, obviously,
of course,
we have their consent.
Right.
What's important to note, if a property is not bonded, we need that original title deed. So that you can't lodge a copy in the deeds office.
Right.
You always need an original. So if someone can't find their original title deed, they have to sign an affidavit, an application before they leave, because no one's allowed to sign that on your behalf. So if you can't find your original deed, it has to be published in the newspaper. There's a whole procedure for a lost deed.
Wow.
This is generally.
Yes.
But obviously, if you're leaving the country, it becomes more important to do so before you leave. So it's important to hand the original title deed, sign the special power of attorney, so they hold that in trust for you when you leave. If you can't find your original title deed, then obviously it's best to sign the affidavit and application so your attorney, your conveyancer, can start that procedure for you.
It's probably a good idea to do that in any event because, you know, with documents and papers and immigrating, you're going to lose it, or, you know, assuming that your problem. And you certainly, there's no value in having that the title deeds with you in Australia or wherever you are, because it's going to be needed here when you want to sell.
Absolutely. And there's no harm in signing it and then not using it if you find your title deed.
Right.
The problem is, let's say you sign the special power of attorney and you leave to go overseas and now you can't find your title deed. Then it's a problem.
Right.
Then you're still going to have to go to a notary to sign there and courier the documents back. So absolutely, that's an important consideration to think about. The other important consideration, Howard, is, again, just like we spoke about last week, is tax.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What are the implications?
So it depends if you immigrate and you financially immigrate or if you remain a South African tax resident. So Section 35A, and I'm not going to bore you with the details of the Income Tax Act. Basically, are you still considered factually to be a South African tax resident? If you are, there's no problem, even if you're living overseas. If you have financially immigrated, then it becomes a little bit more complicated, because if the property is valued over 2 million rand that you're selling, SARS makes sure that you have to, the conveyancer, and they put the obligation on the conveyancer, agent and the seller and the buyer, that a percentage of that purchase price is withheld until the seller proves that they haven't had a capital gain. And it's quite high. For an individual, we have to withhold 7.5%.
Wow.
For a company, it's 10%. And for a trust, it's 15%. And that amount has to be paid back to SARS within 2 weeks of the property registering.
Let me understand this. The capital gains tax is obviously the difference between buying and selling, the purchase price at the time of purchase and the sales price now. To determine if that property has had a capital gains, obviously less whatever you've put into it, etc. And I am aware of time. But how do they determine that then?
So if you've financially immigrated and you're not considered a South African tax resident, SARS will only determine that after the fact and you have to prove it.
Ah.
But having said that, we've got the specialists that we use
in-house
that can help get a tax directive.
Ah.
So that tax directive we get when the process starts. And even if you've lived overseas for 3 or 4 years, you may be exempt from that process. We've had people who've lived overseas for 8 years, but because they had their property for so long, we were able to show that it was their residence, primary residence, for much longer than it wasn't.
Than they were overseas.
So we get a tax directive so we don't have to withhold the funds. So it's quite important to think about this at the time when you're selling and what the implications are.
Because it has potentially real financial implications.
Absolutely. And most sellers don't realize it until it gets brought up that suddenly a percentage of their property has to be withheld.
What are the common mistakes that people make?
In what aspect?
In immigrating, selling the property, immigrating.
A lot of people, obviously immigrating is such a big decision emotionally, financially, and a lot of people forget that they have this property and they only realize, yes, I've got a property to sell. They pack up their house, they give it to an estate agent, and they don't sign documents before they leave. So the problem is, Howard, they're now overseas and they have this huge added expense. You can sign an offer to purchase overseas. It has to be signed in wet ink. So you can't sign an offer to purchase anywhere in South Africa electronically. It's one of the very few documents that you have to sign in wet ink. Now, that doesn't mean you need an original. You just have to print it and sign it with a pen and send it back. So you can do that anywhere in the world. It's the documents that follow the offer to purchase that need to be original documents, especially when you're selling. Buying, you just have to sign affidavits. But it's the sellers that leave and forget this.
So all of this really does go away if you have instructed a firm and given a special power of attorney before you leave.
Correct. So if you have the right conveyancer to assist you and guide you, and you just say, listen, we're immigrating in the next 3 months or 6 months. What do I have to do? I've got this property. I've got three properties. My parents are remaining in my one property. What is the best way to handle it? You need a conveyancer who stands by you, who's got your back, who says, right, this is the best way to structure it, and we can help you with that.
Absolutely fascinating. Taryn Harris, thank you for joining us. Immigration, both exciting and overwhelming, but you do need to understand the property side of the process.